How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
This is day 34 of preparation for resurrection. Our title today is God's Transforming Power. Warren Wiersbe said, "Nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things will never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things." Our text today is Psalm 130, 1 through 8. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." As we continue to prepare to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, let's focus on the difference God makes in our lives. It's the resurrection of Jesus that is the greatest revelation of what Scripture has foretold, the transforming power of God. In Psalm 130, the psalmist acknowledges his great need for God's intervention by crying out to the Lord for help. When you need a drastic transformation, call out to the God who changes everything. Warren Wiersbe references four necessary changes that are needed in our lives, which are all found in Psalm 130, 1 through 8. No matter what our need, when we call upon the Lord in faith, he hears us and makes the changes needed in our lives, from death to life. The picture is that of a person drowning and unable to stand on the bottom or swim to safety. The tense of the verb cry indicates that the writer had been crying in the past and continued to cry out as he wrote the psalm, because without God's merciful intervention, he would die. But he remembered the prayer of Solomon when the king dedicated the temple, and he knew that God's eyes were upon him and his ears open to his cries. Five times he addressed Jehovah, the God of the covenant, and three times Adonai, the master. We can cry out to God from the depths of disappointment and defeat, and from the depths of fear and perplexity. Like a heavy weight, sin drags its victims to the depths, but God made us for the heights. From guilt to forgiveness, the psalmist moved from the sea to the courtroom. But there, the sinner could not stand because of guilt. The only way we can get rid of the sin record is to come to God for his gracious forgiveness. And this forgiveness is made possible because of the work of Christ on the cross. The word translated mark means to observe and keep a record. Sinners cannot stand before the holy judge and argue their own case. But God is ready to forgive, and faith in the Savior brings forgiveness to the soul. God casts our sins behind his back and blots them out of his book. He carries them away as far as the east is from the west. Cast them into the sea, as seen in Psalm 103, 11 through 12. Then he casts them into the sea, as seen in Micah 7, 19, and holds them against us no more, as we see in Jeremiah 31, 34, and Hebrews 10, 17. From darkness to light. From the courtroom, we move to the city walls where the watchmen are alert as they peer through the darkness to detect the approach of any danger. Nothing they do can make the sun come up any sooner. But when the day dawns, the guards rejoice that the city has been safe another night. When the Lord forgives sinners, it is for them the dawning of a new day as they move out of darkness into God's marvelous light. The forgiven sinner is content to wait on the Lord for whatever he has planned for that day. This is not the waiting of hopeless resignation, but of hopeful anticipation. For each new day brings new blessings from his hand. From bondage to freedom. Our final visit is to the slave market, and the theme is redemption, which means setting someone free by paying a price. Israel knew a great deal about God's redemption, for at the Exodus, God's power had set them free from Egyptian tyranny. They had no hope and could not free themselves, but the Lord did it for them. He gave his people abundant redemption that included freedom from slavery, victory over their enemies, and a promised land for their home. The slave has no hope, but the child and the family looks forward to receiving an inheritance. All who trust in Jesus Christ are children in God's family and not slaves, and their future is secure. The psalmist saw a future redemption for the people of Israel. Christian believers look forward to the coming of Christ and the redemption he will bring. As we journey through this season of Lent towards Jesus' resurrection, may we never lose sight of God's ability to transform our lives from death to life, from guilt to forgiveness, from darkness to light, and from bondage to freedom. Now, here are some questions to consider today. Why is it essential for you to trust God, even enough to cry out to him for help? Of the four changes mentioned in Psalm 130, which ones are most evident in your life today? Take a moment and spend some time today thanking God for all the changes he has made possible in your life. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.